We have a spiritual system, and there are so many devotees, but from amongst us, we choose one devotee, and we offer our respect to him, and we worship him as a representative of Krishna. He is a devotee, we are devotees. But we know that we need some focus. This is logical. This is practical. So he is a devotee and we are devotees. But we know to keep our mind focused and to control our senses, to practice, we need someone that we can reciprocate with. So there's a culture and there are rituals. The rituals are not the goal, but the rituals are very joyful. It's very nice. Someone is being put on a big seat. They're washing his feet. He just took a bath, but his feet are clean, but we're washing his feet and making a big celebration. So that is the way that we should treat any Vaishnava. The same respect. Maybe we don't go through all the rituals every time. But in Indian families, you will see children that get up in the morning, and the first thing they do is they go and they touch their parents' feet. Even today, even though they've almost lost the culture, but certain rituals are still there. One goes and early in the morning and offers his obeisances to his spiritual master, to his parents, to the demigods, to the Supreme Lord. Why all of this trouble? This is part of our culture, and it leads us to a very nice heart, a pure heart, and a brave heart, actually a pure heart. Purity is the best condition for all of us, because our original condition, in our original condition of purity, we have all good qualities. There's no need for separately trying to become honest, separately trying to become friendly, separately trying to become brave, or separately trying to become personal. If we become Krishna conscious, if we become purified of lust and anger and greed, then automatically the good qualities will come out. We have seen this many times, that even a very degraded person, by practicing Krishna consciousness over a period of time, their whole character changes. Some of their biggest faults and problems, they can be transformed. So people see us, the biggest thing is they don't know. Our marketing is not so good. And even apart from that, it takes time for people to know. Just like the early Christians, they had a message of love. Jesus taught them to love thy neighbor, love thy God with all thy heart and soul, to love thy neighbor as thyself. distribute love to everyone, love of God. He taught them a very nice thing, but it took a long time for them to communicate their message. So they were, people thought they were a cult. So that's why we always have to read Prabhupada's books and think. Always keep your mind active in thinking, analyzing, studying. Because we are so unique and different that there's a tendency to think that we're wrong and they're right. Oftentimes people judge what is right and what is wrong by how many people ascribe to it, how many people follow. It can be the greatest ignorance, but if everybody's following, then oh, that must be right. Thousands and millions couldn't be wrong. Millions of millions of housewives couldn't be wrong. Use, you know, such and such soap powder, because so many housewives are using Clorox bleach, or they're using, I don't know what the soap powder is. What do they use here? Tide? No? Tide? Okay, I can't remember. It's so long since I washed my clothes with soap. Millions of housewives couldn't be wrong. Buy Tide. You know? Because so many people are doing it, oh, it couldn't be wrong. But the fact is that Maya is so powerful, only a few very seer souls can get out of her clutches. Everyone else is covered. But if we don't keep reminding ourselves by studying our philosophy and taking part in our culture, you have to have an experience. If you just study the books without applying them, everything will be dry and tasteless after some time. There is achar and prachar. Achar means good behavior, and prachar means preaching, activity, doing something. So, talking about the philosophy with others, strengthening your own knowledge, and following what you say. If you just preach and you yourself don't follow, then it will be hard for people to accept what you say. Of course, you may not be a perfect devotee, so it doesn't mean that we wait till we're 100% pure devotees living in Vaikuntha before we preach. If that were the case, nobody would preach. We hear from Krishna's pure devotee and we repeat that. Jare deko tare kaho Krishna upadesh amaravyai guru hoy tare desh. And Lord Chaitanya's order, we are preaching. But we're repeating what we've heard. And it is correct. My Guru Maharaj has said, and we repeat, Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, and we repeat that. But if we follow it also, if our achar, sadachar, our behavior is very nice, then we will have a lot of conviction about what we're doing. And people will sense that. And they'll be convinced just by our conviction. Diogenes, the Greek philosopher who went through the streets of Greece looking for one honest man, He couldn't find any honest men in the city. Plato also, same thing. He was very disturbed because he couldn't find even one. He would go looking in people's eyes. He would walk up to a man and look in his eyes and say, he's a liar. Is it cheating? And he's not. So quantity of life is not so important. All many great devotees, Lord Chaitanya lived only for 48 years. Not a very long life. I know. I'm 48. I'm not ready to die yet. Jesus Christ was only 33, 32 something. Shankaracharya started his preaching when he was 11 years old. Quantity of life is not so important. Quality is it. Krishna can empower us to do anything at any point in our lives. The only criteria is that it should be for Krishna's pleasure, cent for cent. Everything here in the material world is superfluous. Ashrama is simply useless activity in the material world. Everything is all invented and concocted. The animals are running here and there on four legs, and we're running here and there on four wheels. It's all just chewing the chew. It has no value, these activities. The only activity that we should do is that activity which gives us a taste for Krishna. Could be any activity. If we get a taste, then that is the right activity. We can't judge it in terms of relative consideration. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksade ahoituki apatiyata yatma supersedati. Atma supersedati. That is what will please us, spiritual satisfaction. And that activity which will give us that satisfaction, para dharma, the highest occupation for a man, sarai pungsan puro dharma, is adhoksaja bhakti, transcendental devotional service. It is a haituki. It is pure, it's unmotivated, it's not caused by a desire for more material life. Generally, people worship God because they want a better house, or they want a raise in pay, or they want a nice family, or they want some to win some election. All the politicians, they go to church around election time. Pray to God, let me get elected. In India, Indira Gandhi, she used to go to so many temples, Narasingha Rao. When it would come time for election, we would go and visit so many temples. Pray to God, let me become elected. But that's not the way to love God, making a business deal. That's simply business. Love of God is without motive. Love, real love, pure love, means only giving from the heart, deeply giving from the heart. Sweet, nectarian love. And it is a pratyata. It's not for now, and then a little while later changing. Today people change partners like you change your coat, your shirt, every few years. There's no love. Everything is dry. It's just exploitation. Real love is forever. pratyata, without interruption. Therefore, in the Christian marriage vows, until death do us part, there's no divorce. No question. In happiness and distress, in sickness and in health, we are married until death do us part. For Krishna, we are married eternally. No death, so that is the best love. You know, there's no culture like this Vedic culture which can deliver the goods. Everything is included. Joyful experience, singing, dancing, feasting, philosophizing, everything is included. We have to apply, we have to practice. Abhyasena pukonteya, vairagyena chagriyate. To become perfect, you have to practice anything you do. So, spiritually also, we have to practice. But it is worth it. If you want to see the results, then you can come to India. At least I can introduce you to many old aristocratic families. Or even today, they are very, very pious and their families are very organized. They don't have the same mental problems that we have. They're well-adjusted people. And many of them, men and women, at the end of their lives, they go to a holy place and chant Krishna's names. And even at the time of death, they say Hare Krishna. Of course, they don't have the same spirit as Srila Prabhupada to preach. So they're not so glorious. But certainly, if you want to see the result, in small towns and villages in India, even today, you can see such a nice society you study. So, we have got the foundation. We have to make adjustments according to time and place. We have our mission to fulfill, but the basic elements, we should know that we are on the right path and everyone else is going in the wrong direction. You ask any man in the street, any woman in the street, what is the goal of your life? If they've even thought of a goal, a lot of times people are hard pressed to even come up with a goal. Many people will say, I never thought about it. But even if they have a goal, it invariably, without exception, you will find that people have a goal to make money, to have better sex life, to become very secure in different ways. I do various seminars, time management, and motivational seminars. So I have one video cassette which I got from the Covey Leadership Center, and they're in the street of New York, and they're asking people, what is your goal? What do you want from life? And then they ask so many people, and then the video goes on to say, Covey Leadership Center can help you to fix your mind on your goal in life. But everybody across the board says something in relationship to the body. Maybe, I don't even remember one saying something spiritual. Maybe. Manushyanam sahasrashu kastin yatati siddhaye siddha. Very few people are seeking perfection. It's too difficult for them, they think. It's not difficult. Lord Chaitanya has made it very easy. If you just do a little research and have a little faith and try, and gradually you'll make progress, you'll see that it is easy enough. But people don't even make that much effort. And it's unfortunate because they're doomed to old age, disease, and death. They're doomed by their karma. The civilization is about to collapse. It still might end in some type of catastrophic war. Some type of Armageddon. Could happen. It happened in Bosnia. It happened in Chechnya. It's about to happen in Rwanda. It can happen anywhere. It can happen all over the world also. People's hearts are very cold and hard. The leaders are very materialistic. If they see that their interests are being jeopardized, then they'll create a war, because in a war, the economy picks up. Everybody works for a low wage, and there's high production of material goods, bombs and planes and this and that. American economy, you see all the wars, they happen just after some kind of a depression. After the depression in the 30s, it was a ripe time for a war. The German economy boomed when Hitler took over and created a war machine. The American economy expanded and grew. After the war, there was another depression because they stopped producing. They had to switch over to a peacetime economy. So leaders, they have no scruples. They just want to satisfy their senses, so-called leaders. So they'll sacrifice anyone. They don't have to go to war. They sit in the office and push buttons and make telephone calls and meet the press and say how disturbed and worried they are. They don't go in the battlefield and fight. They have their plane, their executive plane, presidential plane. There's a bomb, then their plane will take off and everybody else will suffer and they will fly away. But unfortunately they don't know that they can't cheat Krishna. They will also get their proper dessert, just dessert, they say. Retribution for their sinful activities. But we are right. We're going in the right direction. It's not easy. We are coming from different backgrounds. All of our social habits from the past are materialistic habits. So the change overnight is not so easy. But having been given darshan of the right direction, the right path, having someone like, if someone like Arnold Toynbee can see, then we can also see. Arnold Toynbee couldn't do anything. He could see, he could make social commentary, he could warn people, but he couldn't do anything. But we are being taught how to do something to change our lives, and by changing our lives, we will change others' lives. And slowly, slowly, like a drop of water eating away at a mountain in Colorado, in America, there is a grand canyon, huge canyon. And tourists come from all over the world just to go along the side of the canyon, down the trails, to see the beautiful scenery, nature, in all of her pristine glory, very beautiful. But thousands of years ago, there was no canyon. It was only a little river, Colorado River or something. And slowly, slowly, that river ate away the mountain. So slowly, slowly, if we stick to our principles, more and more people will become enlightened, because we have such a nice culture, such a nice philosophy, such a perfect way of life. Everything is there. If you read the Mahabharata also, excitement, adventure, the emotions, everything can be satisfied. We simply have to put God in the center, that's all. We're trying to do that. Anybody has any questions?
You can explain that. You said we should be like this Colorado River. I understand that we shouldn't maybe push people too much about reaching. But maybe there is this unit of Sadhana and then slowly given philosophy.
Rupa Goswami taught us humble persuasion. We have to judge. An expert preacher can judge when to push and when not to push. Different people have different natures. Some people are by nature very friendly. The main thing is people will not object to Krishna consciousness if it is presented to them in a nice way. If they see some advantage for them, then they will take interest. But if we just present it as a set of rules and regulations, a very harsh, austere, strict way of life, with no fun, just there's one almighty God, and if you don't follow, then you go to hell. Of course, that is also one way to preach, and it has its own effectiveness in the Middle East. They certainly have many converts. Not converts, mostly they're born. They have lots of children. But a devotee should preach by his personal character. A devotee should be so loving and so compassionate and even learned that a person naturally becomes attracted. So our mission is to go out and meet people and give them Krishna consciousness. But our weapons are the holy name presented in a very nice way. Now, we don't force people, but we give them positive encouragement. If we have to judge if people can only accept Krishna prasadam, then we have faith. Here, why don't you try these Indian sweets? They're very nice. We don't even call it prasadam. They might not like that. Oh, we put some drug in there, but it closes for some. But if it is a good thing, then it depends on your enthusiasm and how well. If you get a bad result, then perhaps your preaching is a little bit off. And you should monitor how you are preaching. You can ask people. We can judge by symptoms. That's what I mean. We should always be thinking. God gave you a good brain. So always be thinking and analyzing and planning how to preach Krishna consciousness and how effective you are. There's a difference between efficiency and effectiveness. Efficiency means playing nice mridanga. Efficiency means cooking tasty prasadam, etc. But effectiveness means, do people actually become attracted to your kirtan? Are you presenting it in a way that they can appreciate it? And are people, you're cooking nice prasadam, but are people prepared to taste it? Is your presentation so nice that you actually get a result? Palena palakaranam aniyate. We don't judge by superficial things. We judge by the result. Sometimes preaching may be counter-effective. So we have to preach somewhere else. We have to go to a place where people are inclined to listen. Sometimes we have to be patient. Sometimes a little drop. But we should plan it, not that we neglect. If you do things in an organized way, you'll get better results than if you do it in a disorganized way. Planning always helps. We plan our lives, we plan our families, we plan our traveling, we plan our meals. So we should plan our preaching also. You should push in such a way that people don't know you're pushing. If you anticipate some fear or some opposition, then you first of all prepare, do some groundwork, some pre-preaching work. Make them friendly first. So, but we should not be shy. Jare deko tare kaho. Whomever you see, whomever you meet, preach to them. One way of preaching is to make your home very Krishna conscious. And then invite your office workers over to your house for dinner. And let them ask. Don't say anything, just talk nicely. How is your family? How is your car? Who's that? Why do you keep that man? Oh, that's Prabhupada. So, do you like the food? Yeah, but who's that man? Oh, he's my guru. You know, say something else. What do you mean guru? What is guru? Oh, it's from India. It's based on this Bhagavad Gita. You like to take it home? But you've actually planned a trick. Sneaky trick. Invite them to your house and make all kinds of nice preparations. And leave some books lying around. Sometimes I've seen a wife will take the Krishna consciousness first, or even a husband. So their wife or husband will not agree and have no interest. So it's difficult for the spouse. So in order to, if they just walked into the house and said, okay, everybody, now you have to follow, they would meet opposition. So they plant some books here and there, put some prasadam in the fridge, something, some tricks. And gradually people are curious. It's true, it really is true, that if you participate in the preaching movement, then you will get special mercy from Lord Chaitanya. And that special mercy will help you individually to get strength and courage. And that special mercy will help everyone. Where there are preachers, there's always life in a temple. If there are some nice preachers, then the whole temple is enlivened and enthusiastic. But if we just make a house or make a temple or whatever, and we just do some puja, some rituals, but there's no active preaching. Preaching is bold. Preaching means doing something exciting, taking a chance, spending money, and trying to get some result, trying to bring people closer. So everybody gets enlivened by that. I know recently in New York, for a long time, there were very few young people coming to the temple, very few new devotees. It was always, I would go there, and it would be the same 15 devotees, same faces, same, nice people, but just the same. And so it seemed a little dry. But just recently we had a 1 week festival. Maybe it was longer, it was 12 days actually. 12 days Prabhupada festival. And the president, he invited so many devotees from around the country to come. It was a centennial festival. And he invited the Bhaktivedanta players to come from London, very good drama troupe. And he invited the Festival of India to come to put up their exhibits all over New York City. And he, every day, he had one cook, a Purva Das, who was one of the best cooks in ISKCON. So he's living in America. And he came. And every day there was a feast. And all the excitement, and it seemed like out of the walls, devotees were coming. One day I looked up in the prasadam hall, and there were hundreds of young devotees there. I'd never almost seen them before, but it was very exciting to see their faces and to see them sitting in these groups, talking to one another, enjoying prasadam, and going out to the festivals. Every day there was Harinam, every day there was exhibition on the streets of New York. New York is a city of streets, of sidewalks. Everybody walks in Manhattan. If you've seen a picture of Manhattan, there are big, big, tall skyscrapers. Hundreds and hundreds of skyscrapers. So there are big roads and there are big, wide sidewalks. Every sidewalk is at least as wide as this room, if not bigger. So people walk on the streets. So we would set up our exhibition in some area, and people would come and question, what is this? What is vegetarianism? What is this science exhibition? And all these young devotees passing out prasadam and magazines. So because of the effort of the planners, they'd spent some money, they'd made an effort for preaching, the whole atmosphere became just charged, electrically charged. Everyone was excited. It was thrilling. And even the people of New York, they were very happy. Some people were not happy. That will always be there. If we are to base our preaching on whether or not some people get agitated, then we better stay at home and hide behind our wife's sari or whatever. Hide behind some curtain. One who has got life, he can preach. Any other questions?
But Krishna devotee never offends or not offend.
There's an article, right, in Bhaktivedanta magazine?
I didn't read it. It bothers me. You said that.
No, Krishna devotees don't make plans for their sense gratification. They depend on Krishna. For their own arrangements, something to do with their bodily maintenance or whatever, they don't make so much planning. They depend on Krishna. Or even if they make a plan, that plan they understand can be changed by Krishna at any moment. Prabhupada used to say, Krishna has his plans. We have our plans, but Krishna has his plan. So we're not attached to our plan making, even if we make plans. But generally, we make big plans for preaching. Prabhupada planned to have an ISKCON society. Prabhupada planned to have a governing body commission. Prabhupada thought very clearly how to execute different strategies to get results. You know, just like planning to go to Zagreb. So, if there are no more questions, then we plan to take prasad.
We have come to the same old question. I have a question.
Same old question?
Yes, my old question. You say, everything is already planned. Krishna has his plan. So,
what is the need of our plan?
What can I do?
You have to use your intelligence. You have to show Krishna that you're using everything for his service. You offer Krishna prasadam. He doesn't need your prasadam. Oh, Krishna, what do you need prasadam for? You're asking me to feed you? This is ridiculous. You don't need food. Well, quit wasting my time. No, you offer me food. I don't need it, but you need to offer it to me. If you don't use your mind and intelligence to plan for Krishna, you will plan for Maya. So Krishna has his plan, and you try to anticipate his plan. The good disciple, a disciple tries to fulfill the order of the spiritual master. When the spiritual master tells him what to do, he does it. But a better disciple tries to anticipate what does the spiritual master want and does it even before he's asked. So you try to anticipate what does Krishna want you to do in his service. And maybe you'll be accurate and maybe you won't. And Krishna will correct you in different ways. You should be alert. You have many gurus. Many ways you can seek Krishna's guidance for you. Krishna's reaching out to you in different ways. So you make some plan, you execute your plan, and you're using your intelligence to serve Krishna. You don't sit idle. You do nothing. But if Krishna guides us, this is the wrong thing. Or even if our plan is unsuccessful, just the fact that you made a plan to serve Krishna, that is bhakti. You only bhakta prayachati. Just the fact that you made an effort, all your plans fail. Doesn't matter. It doesn't say that you have to be successful. He says you have to plan to do something for him. Just that effort, the energy expended, that is a sign of your love. You are sacrificing. Your propensity to plan for your own sense gratification is being dovetailed in planning for Krishna's sense gratification. So it's a sign of your love, of your interest, your sincerity, your sacrificing. Nothing has any value. Everything we do, building cars, building television sets, going to university, doing this, doing that. Nothing makes sense in life. Life is absurd. Nihilist philosophers, their conclusion was that there's no meaning to life and everything is absurd. Everything with no reason. Particular reason why we should have two arms and two legs as opposed to 100 legs. So many different species of life, and they're all living. They're all eating, sleeping, mating, and defending in a different way, and they all look differently.
Why? What is the use?
Why don't we just look like this?
Why not this?
What does it mean? The only value in life is when we do something that helps us merge into Krishna in love and devotion, become one with Krishna. But whatever it is, even if you want to do nothing, you have to plan to do nothing. Otherwise, someone will come along and make you do something. Even if you want to follow the middle path, some initial planning is there. You have to plan to make no plans. One man wrote a book, wrote so many books actually. You don't need a guru. Be your own guru. He wrote so many books telling people, you don't need a guru. Why you wrote so many books? I don't need your books either. I don't need your advice. On your advice, I reject your advice. But if we have some material motivation, then our planning will be faulty. That kind of planning we should give up.
Progress if you have doubts.
It will be hard.
Hard, yes. How should we notice those doubts? Sometimes we think we don't know, but sometimes we see them. How to see them here? How to practice this?
You doubt whether you have doubts?
Oh, yes.
You don't have to create doubts. If you don't have any doubts, then engage in devotional service. If you're not sick, but you're worried because everyone else is sick, so maybe you should be sick. Maybe you should go and see a doctor because everybody is seeing doctors. You don't have to be sick. If you're happy and satisfied in spiritual life, then very good. Be happy, enjoy. You're meant to enjoy. If you have no questions, if you're just contented to take prasadam and do kirtan and raise a family or do your work, if you're happy, good, that's wanted. We want happy people. Happy people are the best creatures.
When you are speaking about the reason why I feel doubt,
the reason why you have doubts? No? Doubts are natural. Everyone has doubts. We can't see Krishna, we can't touch Krishna, we can't smell Krishna. We're used to making all of our decisions based upon what we see. People are very proud of their eyes. If I can't see it, I don't believe it. It doesn't exist. If I can't touch it or smell it or taste it, then it doesn't exist. We've been educated in that way. We only have intuition that Krishna exists. All of our rationale tells us that only we exist. So there's a balance between intuition and rationale.
Maharaj, if you can please sit here.
Why don't you get some kind of a table?
About a soldier. Giving orders to kill. What karma did they expect to do?
Perhaps it's not so easy to judge. If he's doing simple activities, then naturally you'll get some reaction. But on the other hand, he's forced by circumstance to be in a particular country, and he's forced by the laws of conscription to join the army and fight. And if he doesn't shoot and kill, he will be killed. So maybe there's some consideration. The laws of action and inaction are very intricate. It's not all black or white. There's a lot of gray area in between. Oh, that's too hard. It's too high.
$50 an hour. But anyway, he's very easy with us. So anyway, I was talking to him and he's a Lutheran. You know what is Lutheran?
Yeah.
Followers of Martin Luther, I guess. Huh? So I was talking to him about Selfridge, and he had, yes, I'm familiar with that. So everywhere it seems, all over the world, Catholics. Initially it was only evangelists, born again group, but now everyone is doing it. Oh.
What is the origin of this doubt? Is it Krishna? Does Krishna also have the doubt?
Krishna has doubt. He has doubts about Radharani. How much she loves him. He has doubt about why people are so attracted to him. When Krishna saw a reflection of himself in the mirror, he was very amazed how attractive he was. He was amazed. But generally our doubts are on a much lower level. They're compared to demons. Krishna is known as Madhusudana. He destroys the demon. Madhu demon. So destroying of demons is also compared to destroying doubts. doubt simply mean the absence of Krishna.
Krishna Surya Sama. Krishna is like the sun. And Maya Hoy, Andhakar. Maya is like darkness. So wherever there is light, darkness cannot stand. So if you bring the light of Krishna consciousness, then doubts go away. When we sit together and discuss the philosophy of Krishna consciousness from different angles of vision, then we become satisfied. But when we leave the association of devotees, then again, doubts arise in our heart. It's a constant hearing, chanting Krishna's glories. Automatically, doubts cannot come. But the demons, they're always trying to cause trouble for the devotees. Actually, it's Maya's duty. Her business, her instruction, Krishna gives her instruction. All these people, they wanted to live independently of me, so you cover their intelligence. Otherwise they cannot do it. They wanted to try, but it's impossible. But just so they can have the illusion of trying to do it, you just keep them all covered. So Maya creates so many illusions, so many demoniac doubts.
Srila Prabhupada makes a lot of statements about destroying the major cities and such things like
destroying the
major cities in the world.
Oh yeah.
And about like prediction. Yeah, how could we understand this? I don't know, you probably know what I mean. We are not planning anything. Prabhupada said it needs to be different. What should we do? How should we do?
We are planning, we are making farm communities, we're growing food.
Not like we're
not making underground cities. Well, the BBT, they have taken all of Prabhupada's books and put them on DAT tape and buried them deep underground in vaults. You can pay to have something stored. So they've done that in America. But A, it is not a fact that they can blow up the world, only if Krishna allows them to. But so we don't have so much to fear. Just like now, we are vegetarians, but everything's, even the vegetables you eat are often sprayed with animal products or different things. Sometimes, like apples, you buy an apple, oh, I'll just have some fruit, that's vegetarian. But they spray that apple with some kind of insect wax, wax made from insects or whatever, so that it has a nice shine, nice red shine. They don't tell you. There's nothing written on the label of the apple. And there's so many examples. We try our best to be as pure as possible, but I'm sure every devotee at some time has eaten meat. I know we did it many times when we were first doing Sankirtan. 1971, 1970, doing book distribution, and we had nothing to eat, so we thought we'll eat some bread, and we looked on the package of the bread and
just some wheat and some vegetable oil and some preservatives, nothing sinful. The bread is made by a machine. The machine doesn't have any karma. So we ate the bread and distributed books. But then one day we were near a bread factory. So just because we were close by, we thought, we'll go and check. Guess what? The pans in which they bake the bread have to be greased so the bread doesn't stick to the pan. And guess what they use? Pig fat. Lard. So we were eating lard. And so many different things. Once we, in San Francisco, we had a Sunday feast. And we invited so many people to come. And we were serving halwa and gulab jamuns and nectar. So somebody put some LSD in the nectar. So everybody got stoned. What to do? Didn't make much difference to the devotees. They were already high on Krishna consciousness. Is it just?
Is it okay to discuss?
Yes.
No.
We should always talk about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. Whatever Prabhupada has given us in his books. Oh, so nice. We don't do it enough. Every evening we should sit down and read from Krishna book and talk about Krishna's pastimes. And the whole atmosphere will become just changed. What happened? The cake didn't rise? Or
it somewhat understood that it's very, very big.
No, nobody noticed until it was too late. Maybe everybody was enjoying it. It was the very early days of Krishna consciousness. Most of the devotees were having flashbacks anyway. Do you know what is flashback? Yes, it's got my name on it. Not my first day. It's not a custom here to have ice cream and cake, huh?
That's not impossible to get bona fide.
Oh, you can't get bona fide ice cream?
Yeah, people don't know which is to be there, so...
Oh, you ask them.
They're important, then nobody knows.
You can make your own.
Yeah, you can make your own. Most temples do. Get nice gelato machine. You made the cake?
Yes.
Oh?
You're smart enough, it's a...
They look smart.
She goes
there. She cooked for you last year at the
Hmm? No, she has to come.
Very nice kick.
She used to work in a temple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he came for the Vyasa Puja or something?
Yes.
Let him go again so quickly. Yeah. No, that's all right. Actually, we are all part of a big family, and I'm an older member of the family, but we have many, many gurus and many teachers, and the first business is to follow our authorities. There has to be discipline. Disciple means discipline. So the spiritual master in ISKCON, the Diksha Guru, or even a preacher who we are attached to, he may not, or she may not be the main person, but we may have many devotees that we get instruction from and help us in our spiritual life, and that's the nice thing about living in a spiritual family. We can have lots of gurus, but ultimately for management we have to follow the temple authorities. Everybody in ISKCON, including the spiritual masters, they get their authority from the GBC body. And the GBC body is the ultimate managing authority in ISKCON. Now, that's the way Prabhupada wanted it. It's there in his will that the ultimate managing authority is the GBC body. So some people may say, there are people who say this, they say, yes, but that only refers to management. Our real authority is our guru or our spiritual authority. That's fine. But as soon as you want to do anything, that's management. So you have to follow the GBC body either way. First of all, managing for Krishna is not material, it is spiritual. Anything you do for Krishna is spiritual, it's not material. So any guru who wants to live in the international society wants to take advantage of the facilities and the reputation, they have to follow the GBC body. And the GBC body has appointed different temple presidents. So for management, the temple president has to be followed. Not that our guru will give us a different instruction and we will say, oh, my guru has told me and now I don't have to follow the temple president. No. And we should never play a game where we take the instruction of our guru and use it to give trouble to the temple president. I know, because I'm a guru of GBC and a temple president, all three. So I know all the different positions. But everybody, it's common sense, and Prabhupada said it many times, if we want to please him, then we should very openly discuss, communicate, and cooperate together. And that's why this book, Seven Habits, or other different things, if they show us a way in which we can work together better, then they have some value. Just like one of the seven habits is win-win agreement. So the temple president wants us to stay and do the deity worship, but we want to go and be with our God brothers and God sisters and meet our spiritual master, or join in a festival or something. So there may be many festivals, so we make an agreement that yes, I will do my service, but 2 times a year or 3 times a year you will allow me to go. And if both people are satisfied, then that both win. Generally, when we, in material life, we negotiate with people, and we don't care about their feelings or their problems. We just think that I have my needs, and I will negotiate with them until I win and they lose. Or another form of that is compromise. We may compromise a little, but real win-win is where both parties are satisfied, happy. And in working together, we have to try to understand what Prabhupada's desire is, but different people have different perceptions of what Prabhupada desired. Prabhupada's instructions are there, but they mean different things to different people. So, in order to reach a nice agreement with other devotees or with our temple authorities, we have to first seek to understand their position. We may not agree with them. We're not surrendering to their way of looking at things, but we should sincerely try to understand why are they thinking that way? Why have they made this condition and that instruction? Why? So if we try to see why they are thinking in that way, and then we analyze why we are thinking in the way we do, with that type of concern, we can come to a third alternative which will be better than either my opinion or their opinion. We can have something that's even better. So these are all different systems, material systems, for organizing our interacting together. Just like the gopis. The gopis in our, we sing every morning, that the gopis are very expert in making plans for Radha and Krishna to get together. So they actually have a whole arrangement so that Krishna can meet Radha in the forest and all the other manjaris, especially the manjaris. There are main gopis who are either competitors with Radharani. There are two camps, and there are the right-wing gopis and the left-wing gopis. So, then there are the manjaris,
Now the Manjaris are not in the left wing or the right wing, but their only work is to assist Krishna and Radha in their pastimes. Or sometimes Krishna is with Satyabhama, or sometimes Krishna is with any of the other gopis. So the Manjaris, they make so many arrangements so that everything can go on nicely. So that should be our mood, to make arrangements that everybody can meet together. And there should be no misunderstanding. We have our culture, we have our etiquette, and every devotee is thinking that I am the servant, not the master. So by organizing our culture in that way, there will be no envy. There will be less envy, less misunderstanding. And we'll feel very peaceful. There are four stages of understanding, or four stages of expertise. There is unconscious incompetence. You're incompetent and you don't even know you're incompetent. And then there's conscious incompetence. You're incompetent and you know it. And maybe you're trying to improve. And then there's conscious competence. You're good at doing something, and you're good at it because you practice doing it. You're very conscientious to do it in the right way. And then there's unconscious competence, when you're so used to doing things in the right way that you don't even think about it. It is second nature to you. So when we are able to learn and imbibe all the different elements of our culture, all the different social rules and all the different subtle elements of our culture, and when we're so comfortable with it and so practiced in it that we just do it unconsciously, then everything will be very sublime. But in our present stage, we're consciously, for the most part, incompetent. And we're working towards conscious competence. But this is a divine culture. If we want a good society, then we have to work for it. We have to all agree that these are our enemies. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion. We have to all agree that our authority is the scripture and our spiritual masters. And then we have to be proactive. We have to do things. We have to get together, have discussions, we have to chant a lot. One of the ways to clear the atmosphere from the modes of passion and ignorance is to have lots of chanting. I don't have so much time. If you take the time, you all have time. Everybody has time. The same amount of time. So we just don't make it a priority. But chanting should be a priority in our lives. Chanting is the very best thing we have.
connecting with Krishna's holy name. So if we all have bad qualities and we all have good qualities. When we're in Maya, we look at other people's bad qualities. But when we're in Krishna consciousness, we only see the good qualities and we encourage the good qualities. We ignore the bad qualities. So, by coming together and by chanting the good qualities, there is an atmosphere. Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshuva. I'm not in Vaikuntha. I'm not in the heart of the yogis. But I am in that place, Madhvakta Gayante, where my devotees are chanting my names. I am in that place. So Krishna appears. When we sit together like this, now we've been here for 2-3 hours, whatever, we've been talking about Krishna, we've been taking Krishna prasadam, we've been smiling at each other, and we all feel very good. Isn't it? It's a nice way to live. No anxieties. The external world has gone away, it's dissolved. We're in Vaikuntha. I can just imagine how they're feeling in Sweden. When you get more and more devotees together, then it's very, very blissful. In fact, you feel like you're on a cloud. But even one or two devotees get together. It's hard for one devotee to get together. Two devotees get together and chant and discuss Krishna's pastimes. The six Goswamis, they would get together. Sometimes there were six, sometimes there were five, four. Sometimes they would meet one-on-one. But they would always discuss Krishna's pastimes and feel very blissful. They were merged in an ocean of bliss. This is the way. And we'll learn how to... There are different things that can disturb. Spiritual energy is very subtle and it has to be nurtured. It has to be protected, just like Lord Chaitanya, when he first started his Sankirtan movement, he would have Sankirtan at the house of Srinivas Acharya, Srivas Thakur. So, in the house of Srivas Thakur, he wouldn't allow anyone else to come, with only his intimate devotees, because he didn't want any disturbance to the mood. If people aren't a little pure, then even a little lust or a little anger, little material emotion can disturb them, and you don't get the same ecstasy. It's nice when we're all together. We all have faith in Krishna. Nobody's perfect, but at least we have some basic faith. So it's much better than trying to have this kind of discussion with materialistic people. It wouldn't work. Katiyantascha maam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. This is the spiritual world. This is transcendental enjoyment. It's late, otherwise we could have some more kirtan. Talking about kirtan, but we didn't have any kirtan.
For a few minutes?
Yeah, for a few minutes.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine.
Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parivartakacharya, Ashtutara Satasi Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki. Himse Koho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana ki. Prajabhumi Vrindavan Dham ki. Mayapur Navadip Dham ki. Gangamayi Jumanmayi ki. Tulsi Maharani ki. Hari Nam Sankirtan ki. Brihad Mridanga Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution ki. Prasadam Distribution ki. Srila Prabhupada's Centennial ki. Damodar Vrata ki. C.C. Mayapur Temple of Vedic Planetarium ki. Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Vishnu.